Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Classic Rock 101.1's got a great concert for you coming up to Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. This is going to be January 14th. And also, you can catch these guys coming up this month, October 23rd, down in Atlanta, along with Lynyrd Skynyrd. We're talking about the one, the only Kansas. And I got a good friend of ours on the phone with us, the lead singer of the band, Mr. Ronnie Platt in Chicago. How are you, Ronnie?
JD, I'm doing beautiful in beautiful Chicago here. How are things by you?
I tell you what, we've been mired in rain for the past week, but then again, we're supposed to get sunshine for the weekend, so it's going to be kind of nice, and we're looking forward to you guys coming to town. When we found out that Kansas is coming to town, we are looking forward to this because Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium, I don't know if you're familiar with the venue, but it's a sweet little joint. It's got some great sound to it. And with the sounds of Kansas, it's going to be unbelievable with original, of course, original drummer and Phil Ehart and Rich Williams with the band. You have fit in with the band unbelievably, especially coming in with two albums. And you were with a band prior to Kansas, some good friends of mine from Kansas City called Shooting Star.
This is true. What really blows my mind is how does a guy from Chicago end up in not one but two bands from Kansas that both have violin players?
Right.
What are the odds?
Well, and of course, the loss of course, the original violinist this year, Mr. Robbie Steinhardt.
Yeah, and we just recently attended his funeral, a very emotional thing, really a good guy. The fans loved him, and it was very sad. But, you know, the bright part about that is his violin playing will live on forever.
Well, especially with David, who you got with the band now, David Ragsdale, who's been with the band quite often, is just this latest album that you put out last year, The Absence of Presence. I tell you what, it's a lot harder from a normal Kansas perspective.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you, we're just so proud of this album, and you know, I listen to it now, and I'm like, God, how did that come out so good?
Yeah. Well, it's just your vocal style is, of course, the original Steve Walsh with the band on his vocal range that he had. And John Elefante for a little point of a period of time in the band. And then you come along, and not only did you sound kick-ass when you were the Shooting Star with our long-lost buddy Van McLean, but you fit into Kansas like a perfect mold.
Well, you know, you are a product of your influence, you know, and boy, I've been influenced by the iconic Steve Walsh my entire life, and you know, I just picked the right guys to kind of tailor myself off of. You know, I have Steve Walsh and Brad Delp and Steve Perry, Lou Gramm, John Anderson. These guys were all my influences, and you know, just developed myself, my style, because I listened to those guys at a very young age.
Well, you know, and when the story about you getting the gig with Kansas is really, really cool. Tell us the story about how you got that gig.
Yeah, you know, it's really wild that a longtime fan and longtime friend of mine, Dina, who happens to be Dennis DeYoung's niece, Dennis DeYoung, formerly of the band Styx.
Right.
And she texted me one day and she said, you know, did you see this? And I'm, you know, she sent me a screenshot of the announcement of Steve's retirement. And long story short, I just went out on a whim and messaged Rich Williams because we were friends on Facebook. And all I wrote was, Rich, Ronnie Platt from Shooting Star, give me some consideration. And that was on a Wednesday. Talked to Rich on Thursday, talked to Phil on Friday, flew out to Atlanta on Monday and met with them for a few hours. And Tuesday morning, right back in my beautiful 18-wheeler going to my customers, delivering my corrugated product from the best corrugated company in the world, Standfast Packaging.
Right.
Did I get the plug in there?
Nice job, man. Nice job. Perfect.
But I'm at one of my customers, and I opened my email, and it got an email from Phil Lehart saying, you got the job. Congrats. The band is pumped. And things have been 1,000 miles an hour ever since.
Well, you got such a catalog of stuff that you had to learn with the band, and you know, you go back to songs of when I still remember Two for the Road, the album, the live album they put out, and you know, songs like Song for America and you know Lightning's Hand, and God, so many other songs in there. But when you got with the, when you got in with a band and you started learning the tunes, which was the one that was a little bit more ominous than the other?
Well, you know, I really had a massive advantage because not only did a lot of my cover bands play a lot of Kansas, and not only Carry On Wayward Son and Point of No Return, we did some deep cut stuff too over the years. And just because I love the band so much, I knew the stuff just for my own embellishment,
yeah.
And not only the vocals, but a lot of the keyboard parts, I'm a closet bass guitar player. And I would, you know, figure out the bass guitar parts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really had an advantage of knowing these songs, really having a good bite out of them. But, you know, when you're learning these songs to a level that you know them,
yeah,
but then you have to go beyond that and learn them at a level of performance. And for me, that's when you know the song so well, it's like natural muscle memory.
Right.
You know, and just, you know, were there some tunes that were challenging? You know, of course, you know, Journey from Mary of Ron.
Yeah.
You know, wow, doing
yeah.
that tune, pretty demanding as a keyboard player and a vocalist, you know. So, but not just attacked every song one by one, and like to think I did a pretty good job at it.
Well, I tell you, you do a damn good job at it. The first time they can see you is the 23rd down in Atlanta, opening up with, of course, another legendary band, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and that's going to be down at the Solaris Amphitheater in Lakewood, and you're going to be doing Kansas classics there. But when you come up here January 14th at the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium, by the way, tickets are on sale now for the gig, you're going to be doing the Point of No Return tour.
JD, that's what we call the poker show, Point of No Return anniversary, and that is nearly 2.5 hours of just jam-packed Kansas dynamic music.
Yeah.
Be prepared. We like to inform everyone to please use the bathroom before taking your seat, because this is a long show. So...
Well, you know, with the newer stuff,
I'd like to hear that collective flush, you know, 5 minutes before the show. Why is the water pressure down so low?
Well, not only with the unbelievable album from 1977 and the Point of No Return, but you also weave in some of your new stuff as well. And I heard in one of your interviews, someone called it almost Trans-Siberian Orchestra-like. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, it does have that element because, you know, the sound is just so big, you know, and, you know, when you think about a song like Throwing Mountains off of Absence, you know, it's just so big, so powerful, you know, very dynamic. It has that orchestral feel to it, you know, where...
And great guitar,
you know,
work.
Time changes and, oh, my God, the guitar work. Zach and Rich just knock it out of the park on that tune. You know, then of course it doesn't hurt when you've acquired one of the best keyboard players in the world,
right?
Tom Brislin.
Yeah.
You know, the boy with the golden resume, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Tom's background, but you know, former Meatloaf keyboard player, former Debbie Harry keyboard player, toured with Yes, and if you tour with Yes, you better not be no slouch, because you're playing Rick Wakeman stuff and Tony Kaye stuff. So having Tom in the band and adding to that album was just a grand slam.
Well, I tell you, that album is great. It's one of my favorites, and you go back to that album, and it's, like I said, the guitar work is a lot heavier than what you're used to with a Kansas song, even going back to the 80s with Power, which was kind of a heavier album for Kansas, and not being so melodic, but still being a kick-ass album. The absence of presence, man. I thought that the guitar work on it, and of course your vocals, lend it to a different version of Kansas, but still in the same vein of Kansas. If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely, and it's unmistakably Kansas. It has some elements of Kansas roots.
Yeah.
In it. But I've often said, and I've had this conversation with Zach, from time to time, that, we grew up being such huge fans of Kansas and being so influenced by Kansas. When we write, or when I sit down at the piano and I play, just playing to goof around, to play around, there's stuff that just inherently comes out to play that sounds like Kansas.
Right.
Because we've just been so heavily influenced. It's part of our blood.
Well, anytime you hear, you hear the guitar riff, and then you hear that violin that comes into it, it's like the Van Halen. As soon as you heard the guitar work, or if you heard the drums of Van Halen, you knew unmistakably. You didn't care who the singer was, but you knew who it was. And I think Kansas is the same way. As soon as you hear that signature violin sound, you're like going, that's got to be Kansas.
Yeah, and boy, I can't say enough about the mesmerizing David Ragsdale on violin.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to stand next to him every night, and sometimes, JD, sometimes I'm watching him and I forget what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and again,
wait a second. I got to get to my keyboards here,
Right. Well, you look behind you, the ever popular Mr. Phil Ehart, and of course, Richard Williams, the creator, one of the creators, both creators of the band. It's just, you look at the lineage there and some of the great songs that came out of it, and along with Kerry Livgren when he was with the band. It was such a dynamic, and it was musical thought, I always thought that band was.
Yeah, if I dare say the words, musical intelligence.
Exactly.
This is not easy music.
And no.
I've said it over and over again. It's part of the work ethic of this band. We never stop rehearsing and tweaking things and drilling things. And, to think that Phil and Rich are knocking on the door of doing this for 50 years.
Crazy, right?
Really crazy. And they're really the ones that, really still want to tweak things and drill things. It's just part of what we do. It's just an automatic with us. And, we're our own worst critics, So we want to play things up to our standards, which is extremely high.
Well, and I tell you what, man, you're in great company with who you're with Kansas. Looking forward to seeing you guys January 14th, Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. Tickets on sale now. The Point of No Return album. Not only are you going to hear great songs from that album, but you're going to hear stuff from Absence of Presence. You're going to hear something from almost all 16 albums that Kansas put out. And you, Ronnie Platt, coming in with the vocal range that you've got, it's you lend yourself to another dynamic of Kansas.
Thank you, JD. I really appreciate that. And boy, January 14th, it is going to be here before we know it.